Spirit in the first service, and about every spot was full. And I'm just praise the Lord to see many of you here in the second service. And I love it when we are worshiping together in spirit and in truth. I like new songs we've been singing. There is a Redeemer. That's a new one here. It's not a new one, but it's a new one we're singing. And from the Rejoice hymnal, I believe. And then that choir song, But Thou, O Lord, that was a great encouragement from Psalm 3. If you're wondering where the words come from, you can just open Psalm 3 and just have worship and get a hold of heaven there. But what a blessing. Take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 this morning as we hear His invitation, come and see. John chapter 1, John the Baptist is testifying. And we talked last week about John the Baptist and how he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And I don't know all that means. I just know God had a plan and purpose for him. And it was to have Jesus be increased and for him to decrease. And so John the Baptist is declaring Jesus here in the text in John chapter 1. And I want you to notice with me, I'm going to ask you to stand if you found your place. John chapter 1 and verse number 34. He's had an internal witness that when the Holy Ghost descended as a dove, the dove that would descend on that one would be the Messiah. And John witnessed that. And John says in verse 34, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Jesus is God. God the Son and the Son of God. Verse 35 continues. It says, "Again, the next day, when John stood and two of his disciples, and looking on upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour." Thank you for standing, and may be seated. I want to draw your attention to the first words of Christ in this gospel. The first words are a question. The second is followed up with an invitation. I want you to notice here is John the Baptist, and Jesus comes by, and they're watching and they're looking, and John declares, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Two of John's disciples immediately leave him and they begin to follow Jesus. By the way, that's the point and purpose of a church, not for you to follow me, but for you to follow Jesus. And John figures it out, and John says, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. And his disciples leave him, and they follow Christ. And Jesus is walking, and he sees two following him. Most likely, we know the name of one was Andrew. Most likely, the other name was John, because John does not refer to himself. So John's giving his own testimony here. And John says, as he followed Jesus, Jesus turned around, and he looked at him, and he asked this question. Did you notice the question? He said, "What seek ye?" Now, literally, the phrase, "what seek ye," is a very probing question. It's this: what are you looking for? It's not, who are you looking for? You see, later in John 18, he'll say, "whom seek ye?" And then when he speaks, "I am," they all fall back as dead. Jesus looks and he says, "what seek ye?" See, I believe that everybody has asked that question. It's this: what are you looking for? Everybody here has had that question in their heart. Why am I here? What is my purpose? And what am I really looking for? And friend, this morning you may have come today and you're here in this service, and there's different situations of your life. But everybody here today is looking and longing for Jesus. You may not know it. You may be trying to fill that God-sized hole with something else. You may be trying different sins or substitutes or substances. There may be some sort of relationship you're trying to get involved in, or some sort of philosophy you're trying to wrap yourself around. Maybe some other religion that you've found. But listen today, the only one that can satisfy your soul is Jesus. Amen. He looks at them and asks the question they've been looking for. And they were looking for Jesus. And he says, "What are you looking for? What are you looking for today?" They, hearing the question, answer and they say, "Where dwellest thou?" You know what they're asking? They want to go where he stays. Listen, I don't know about you, but I want to be where God is. Amen. You know, the word tabernacle means where God dwells, where God shows up. I think of that Old Testament tabernacle with the fire fell. One of my favorite pictures is the picture of the tabernacle with the fire of God and the pillar of fire that fell and that kind of glory of God. That's what tabernacle means. If we're going to be tabernacle, we need to be a place where God dwells. And so they say, where dwellest thou? Where do you live? You know, Jesus said, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man had no place to lay his head. You see, he did not have a permanent dwelling place, but he was bringing them to where he was. And they would walk with him and they would talk with him and they would fellowship with him. You see, when they said, where do you dwell? What they were asking for was intimate relationship. Don't you know the Lord this morning is knocking at the door and he's saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and whosoever hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him. By the way, it's supper, not dinner. Dinner's next. Supper, Jesus said, supper's at night. I will sup with him and he with me. Jesus wants to fellowship with you. I think about how he looked at Zacchaeus and said, I'm going to your house today. Listen, the Lord is looking today and he is wanting you. And so they look at him and they say, where do you dwell? And then he follows it up with this. He says, come and see. Now, I know there's so much in this passage I could preach from, but this one statement stuck with me. And that's kind of, I know when it's a message. You see, there's a difference between a sermon and a message. A sermon is you can study something, you can present it, you can organize the points, and you can just simply teach it. But listen, a message, I believe, is something, a burden, is something God has placed upon a preacher's heart. And when that burden is given, it is declared with truth and authority. And I believe God has this message for Tabernacle today, and it's this. Come and see. Now, I believe there's several aspects of it. I believe it's for the lost today. To come and see Jesus Christ. Come and see the one that you've been looking for, the one you've been longing for, the one that would fill your soul, the one that can save you, clean you up, turn your feet around, take you out of that horrible pit, set your feet upon a rock, establish your goings, put a new song into your heart, even praise to our God. Come and see. But I also believe it's for Christians that we've lost track of our purpose of our life, and it's Jesus. You see, I believe so often we get caught up in the Great Commission, and that is the go and tell. And we get the part of go, go, go. And that's the missions conference, go, go, go. And listen, I believe you ought to go. But if we go and just walk around and do nothing, something's wrong. We're to go and tell. Get this, come and see. It's go and tell others to come and see Jesus Christ. You look at the text this morning, I see something that John himself is experiencing. See, John brings to record, brings to witness everybody who is testifying Christ. Well, here is John's testimony. John says, did you notice he knows the day? He knows the hour. Look at verse number 29. It says, Jesus said, come and see. And I like this. The day, John himself, Andrew, came and saw. He wasn't disappointed. He wasn't let down. He saw Christ where he dwelt. The word there says he abode with him that day. He dwelled with him. He fellowshiped with him. He lived with him. And it says, for it was about the 10th hour. You see, John knows the day. John knows the hour that he decided to follow Jesus. Do you know the day? Do you know the hour? Oh, I remember the day when he saved my soul. I remember the day that he made me whole. I remember the time, I remember the moment where I cried out to Christ. You've heard my testimony more times than probably you can count. But listen, today I doubted. But then when I got the assurance of my salvation, when I cried up to heaven, not a theological prayer, but I said, if I'm not saved, save me. Now, I wouldn't recommend that, but for me, I needed that one. I didn't know what was up, what was down. I said, I'm tired of going through this whole of my saved, not saved thing. I'm going to settle it. And it just came to my heart. I believe the Spirit of God was directing me to cry out, okay, this is it. If I'm not saved, save me. Now, I may have been saved when I was younger. I don't know. I may have backslid this, that, and the other. But I said, I'm not saved, save me. Then I said something I never said before. I said it, if I am saved, or now since I'm saved, fill me with the Holy Ghost. And from that moment, as I laid there, and I'm telling you, your experience may not be my experience, but I laid there upstairs. My mother was praying for me for many years. Listen, since that day, I've never forgot. I've never failed. I've never forgotten. I've never doubted, because I know that he saved my soul. And I've tasted and I've seen that the Lord, he is good. You see, the psalmist said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Isaiah invited in Isaiah 55 verse 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, Come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye. Buy and eat. Yea, come and buy without money and without price. You see, the invitation today is for you, somebody who may have nothing to offer and nothing to give. But listen, today he is saying, if you're hungry, he's going to be that bread of life. If you're thirsty, he's going to be the living water. If you're lost, he's the good shepherd. If you need life, he's the resurrection and the life. If you lost your way, he's the way. If you don't know what's up or what's down, he's the way, the truth. Listen, to come to Christ. Everyone that thirsteth, everybody who has no money, come and eat. Without money, without price. Oh, that's grace even in the Old Testament. The Word of God says in Matthew 11:28, Jesus invited all that were standing, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The word labor is working, and heavy laden means carrying things you shouldn't be carrying. You're just got extra baggage on this morning. He says, come to me, all you that are laboring, you're working, and you're trying, and you're getting nowhere, and it hurts, and it's hard, and then you have an extra heavy burden that you shouldn't even keep carrying. He says, all those that are heavy laden, come to me, and I'll give you rest. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find what? Rest for your souls. That's what you're looking for. That's why you drink that. That's why you pop that pill. That's why you go there. That's why you try that. That's why you sit down in that movie and try to get a little of entertainment, a little escape from reality. But listen today, the devil will offer you substitutes to escape from reality. But if you come to Jesus Christ, you can in reality have peace for your soul. You can have rest for your soul. And guess what? It doesn't wear off. It doesn't go out. It doesn't give up. You don't have a hangover the next day. There's no pill but the gospel that you need today. And it's Jesus. He'll fill you. He'll satisfy you. Come and see. I know there's a crowd that says that the invitation of Christ is only for a select elect few. I know there are those that say, well, you've got to wait until somehow you're sovereignly superimposed with the saving faith. But the Bible says nothing of the sort. You see, in fact, if you're a little confused with it, the Bible closes in Revelation verse 22 with the Spirit and the Bride. The Spirit is the Holy Ghost. John 16 says, he has come, he will reprove the world of sin because they believe not in me. John 1 verse 9 says, he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus said in John 12:32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, and he was on the cross of Calvary, I will draw all men unto me. It's a promise, a guarantee. The Spirit that was come says, come. But also the Spirit and the Bride. Who's the Bride? That's the church. That's the saved. That's those of the redeemed. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And whosoever is athirst, come. And him that heareth say, come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life. What's the next word? Freely. We have a whosoever will salvation. For anybody today that is thirsty, anybody that is hungry, anybody that needs salvation, anybody that needs healing, anybody that needs strength, anybody that needs sustenance, anybody that needs peace and rest, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You see, the Great Commission is go and tell. Come and see. You see, this is a personal experience. You see, John is testifying about his personal experience. The day that he trusted Christ. The day when he laid it all on the line and he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you today, have you been saved? If you've been saved, you ought to say something about it. It ought to affect you. There ought to be a change. Psalm 116:10 says, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:13, I agree with the same spirit of faith. I believe, therefore I have spoken. We believe, therefore we speak. Psalm 107:2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You see, many churches canceled their Sunday night services and on Super Bowl. In fact, I heard of a church, I mentioned this last week, that had Super Bowl Sunday in the service. They had watching football, and the first 100 people that came in got $100 each. I want to go to that service, you know, tonight and show up and come back here as quick as I can. But listen, get the $100 and go. But I'm telling you, that's not the gospel. See, if you're more excited about the Super Bowl and the Patriots winning in a few hours, if you're more excited about the Super Bowl than the one who saved your soul, you need revival. See, I think it's easy for folks to talk about football and sports and their favorite team and this and that and the other. That's easy. Because why? Because your heart. The Bible says in Matthew 15:18, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. It's what you believe. It's what you rely on. It's what brings you joy. I'm telling you today, revival is falling in love with Jesus all over again. Revival is getting back to the gospel. Revival is getting back to Jesus and remembering what it was like to be saved and then sharing it with everybody else. You say, does that mean all I have to talk about is Jesus? No. But it's all you want to talk about. True revival. What will bring you the greatest joy to talk about? It would be Jesus. And what happened to you? You see, if something happens to you and it works, you share it. I just told the people in the first service, this happened to me last night. I'm thinking, well, maybe I need to tell this, but it happened and it worked. You see, I've been hanging out a lot lately at Lowe's. Maybe you know we moved and we're trying to renovate our house or at least make it look like it's not in the 1970s or 80s. And so we're doing this and doing that. There's been a lot of folks that have helped and praise the Lord. And so last night I just, well, okay, I need to go and I need to get doorknobs and I need to get this and that and paint and ordering carpet and ordering this, that and the other. And, you know, you say you should order from someplace local. Well, Lowe's has a credit card. So, you know, we're going at it and we're going and charging everything up. And so I showed up at Lowe's, not in my suit, but I showed up with jeans. Get this, I like to wear flip-flops. It's confession time. 8:30 at night, I don't care. I wear flip-flops. Jesus wore sandals. You get over it. So listen, I wore my flip-flops. And I realized when I'm wearing flip-flops, walking around Lowe's, that I probably should have worn something else. Do you ever have an old pair of flip-flops that are just wonderful? Slippers. See, the first service, that's the word I was thinking of. Okay. You know, like a slipper. These are like slippers. I bought these things, you know, 10 years ago. I don't know. And I mean, it's got a formed fit of my feet in there. I mean, it's comfortable, and I like walking around my flip-flops. And even in New Hampshire, in the winter, in snow, I wear flip-flops. I love flip-flops. But when flip-flops gets old, something happens. A little prong thing falls out. So I was walking. You ask anybody that was at Lowe's last night, they saw this several times. I'm walking, and every 5 feet or so, my flip-flop would pop out. And so what I have to do is I have to pop it up, grab it, pull it out, push the little thing in. That's the most embarrassing thing in the world. I'd be walking around in flip-flops and it breaking on every five feet. Pop it in, look around, make sure nobody's watching, pop it down, put it in, walk 10 feet all confidently and pop out. You can walk your dress shoes like that, but you can't walk a flip-flop. Pull it out, pop it in. This happened all the way around the store. I was dropping my flip-flop all around the store. I went to the restroom, tried to hide out, I guess, trying to figure this thing out. I put it in there. I walked out. There was an older couple standing there, an older lady standing in front of the men's restroom. That's a little odd, but she was standing there, and she said, sweetheart, honey, come over here. Come on, Shug. And she said, I got something to show you. Come over here. So I came in, she said, I've been watching you with your falling the flip-flops and your flip-flops popping out on you all the way around the store. She said, I've got just the thing for you. I'm thinking, who is this lady? And she takes my flip-flop. She takes it off. I'm barefoot now. She gets my flip-flop. And she takes a paperclip. And she puts it underneath the little prong. She went all MacGyver. She put it on there. And she said, now, sweetheart, bless your heart. Bless your heart. It's not going to pop out on you. It'll work. I said, I'm not so sure about this. You know, lady with the paper, guess what? I could walk around that store 5 feet, nothing popped out. It worked! About another 100 feet, my left one started popping out. I kid you not. You asked the lady at the carpet center, I walked directly. I knew the answer now. I walked directly to the carpet center. I asked the lady and said, ma'am, do you happen to have a paper clip hanging around here? She said, no, but I think I have one. She had one last paper clip. You know what I did? Popped it up, pulled it off. Put the paper clip in the back, and now both flip-flops work. I almost preached them this morning just to illustrate and show it to you. I'm telling you today, hey, how many times you tired of walking around and falling and failing? And somebody comes to you and says, listen, I've got the answer for you. I got what can fix it. I can what can help it. I've got the solution. And listen, and when you hear and you listen and you follow and you understand and you see that it works, guess what? The next time you know where to go, what to do. If you're falling and failing today, I'm inviting you to Jesus. And Jesus will fix you up. He'll set you straight. He'll set you right for the rest of your life. so with the look at the Word of God, I find three different groups of people this morning in John chapter 1. John introduces us to three types of people, and everybody here fits in one of these categories. John introduces us to those that are truly seeking with all of their heart. Oh, they're looking and they're waiting. And they're, I'm telling you what, these folks, it's a right time, right moment. That's John and Andrew. And then we're going to take you to see Philip and Peter. You see, Philip and Peter are a little stronger willed, and they're those that are not necessarily seeking, but they're just kind of set in their ways. You know, God loves people like that too. God can help people like those too. How do you reach them? And then you've got people like Nathaniel. Nathaniel's skeptical. Nathaniel is somebody that's filled with himself, and he's just filled with his own reasoning and logic. But listen, I love the Lord because no matter if you're seeking, no matter if you're strong and set in your ways, no matter if you're skeptical today, Jesus invites you to come and see. And you can see Jesus today. You can have the answer. Let's look first at John, if you would. John and Andrew, they're standing there. We know the text. They're looking, and the Word of God says that when Jesus passed by, the Bible says that they were looking. Look at the term. It said looking. They were looking on Him. Word of God, they were looking. You see, the word there means to evaluate, to study. Maybe you're here this morning, and you've been seeking the truth. In fact, everybody, the Bible says God had set eternity in their hearts. You may be looking today, and so when Jesus passed by, when Jesus passed by, all John had to do was say, "Hey, that's the Lamb of God." You know what they did? They followed Him immediately. You know, some people, it's the right time, it's the right place. There have been so much prayers towards you. There's so much preparation of heart that when Jesus passed by, you follow. And listen, praise God for the simplicity of that faith. Praise God for the right time in the right moment. I'm glad today the Bible says, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find." Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. If you seek the Lord, He shall be found." If you're seeking today, hit the right time, the right moment, He'll bring you to the truth. That's the revelation. That's the light. He gives everybody light. And if you respond to that light and you listen to that light, listen, He'll reveal a little more and a little more at the right time, right place, at the right moment. He'll come to you. He'll show you Himself. He'll reveal Himself to you. Amen. I didn't ask your permission, but first service I mentioned this. John is here. John is hearing the book of John preached. Is that Planet Fitness? And I shared this. I was at Planet Fitness about 11:30 at night working out. And I usually work out late at night or early in the morning, and I got a couple places I go. And so, the kids are in bed and things are down. And so I was either watch the news and be depressed or exercise and watch the news and, feel a little better about yourself. And so, I was there and the Lord drew me to go that late. I don't usually go 11:30. But I went there, and so we were in the locker room and talking about exercise or something. And I don't know how it was, but the Holy Ghost just moved into that conversation and we got to talking about Jesus. And John was in the right moment. I said, "John, guess what? I'm preaching from the Gospel of John. The right moment, right time, seeking God. He can share his testimony maybe tonight about how God saved his soul. But John came to Christ at the right moment and the right hour." I think of my father. I usually don't call out names in church, but we can edit it out from the radio. But think of my dad searching for God, caught up in the Catholic religion and hearing about God and seeing the pictures and the statues and the saints and hearing all this and that and going to a priest at confession. But when he looked for a college where to go, he looked for the College of the Holy Cross in Massachusetts. Yeah, we're from New England. That's why I'm a Patriots fan. But just regional, that's it, I promise. But he went to the College of the Holy Cross because he saw the statement, Holy Cross. He was searching for Christ. He went to the Holy Cross. Guess what? They had nothing to do with the cross. They weren't holy. Every dorm down at the College of the Holy Cross has its own bar. Their own bar. Alcohol flowing freely in every dormitory at the College of the Holy Cross. Something's wrong when a college has a bar so you can underage drink in a bar. That's something. Showed up to, a religion class. You can correct me, but the man stood up and said something like, "There is no absolute right or absolute wrong." You know what I want to ask those people? Are you absolutely sure about that? Because that sounds like an absolute statement. There is no absolute right now. My dad was seeking the Lord, turned on the television. Some televangelist was preaching. My dad would secretly watch it and listen. Campus Crusade for Christ. A young man came and guess what? He talked about Jesus. And when Jesus passed by, as they were studying and they were listening and as he was watching television, all these things were coming to place. And as they were, as a Catholic group, studying the book of Romans. I believe that's from how my mother got saved. Studying the book of Romans in a Catholic group. You know, the Bible is so powerful wherever it is opened and studied. I believe a Catholic group got saved. The guy leading it got saved. The priest came in and tried to shut the thing down. So let's get back to the catechism. Forget the catechisms. Give me the Bible. The book of Romans says, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ would die for us. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They called upon the name of the Lord and they got saved. I love it when God shows up. I love it when there's moments, when there's divine appointments and there's the leading. And I've been praying for that every day. I said, in 2019, I want every day to be a day of divine appointments. But what I've discovered is not every single appointment is going to be where people are seeking. There are going to be some in the second category. See, Peter, look at Peter and Philip. Peter and Philip, they were a little strong-willed. They were a little set in their ways. Look at the text. Verse number 40, and one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, Messiah which is being interpreted, the Christ. By the way, every time we find Andrew in the Bible, we find him bringing people to Jesus. Never get over it. Look at verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. You see, the word here for brought is actually the term dragged. Now, I don't think literally necessarily he tied him up and carried him through. But listen, he had to be a prod a little bit. You know, Simon was somebody who was just a little bit set in his way. Somebody who was just a little bit strong. Somebody who just a little bit opinionated. Somebody who may be a little bit impulsive. And he's not like a John. He's not like an Andrew. But he's somebody that when he's got to study it out and, you know, sometimes has to be prompted and pushed a little bit. But listen, don't you know that the ones that sometimes are the strongest and the ones that are sometimes the most stubborn are the ones that when God gets a hold of them, God can use them in mighty ways. God used Peter. He stood up on Pentecost filled with the Holy Ghost. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. That's boldness. 3,000 got saved. 5,000, not too long later. God can use the stubborn, strong. And my mother would tell you that I was very compliant as a middle child. But down deep, people know me. Down deep, if I believe something, I'm standing on it. I don't care what it is. I'm not moving. That's just the way I am. I do something, I do 150%, whatever it is. I don't want to go halfway on something. And I remember I was in high school, and one of the things I didn't want to do was the kids in the class, they had some sort of way. Every single, at the Christian high school, every single time they would bring forth, I was the one asking the questions. I was the one that was challenging the statements. I was the one that was wondering about this. And listen, don't take somebody who is just asking questions and somebody that is questioning you. Don't take them as being just rebellious and write them off. Answer their questions. In fact, I was told by my youth pastor that was very frustrated with me. He looked at me and said, he got upset with me one day, pulled me in the office and said, you'll never amount to anything. He said, you're so stubborn. You're so strong. You never amount to anything. And we picked everybody else in the class to be prayer group leaders except for you. By the way, the one that they thought was just a holy man turned out, did a lot of unholy things. He's away from God today. Remember, I sat there and I'm like, I guess I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing. I went further from that after that moment, away from God. You say, well, that's just setting somebody straight. That's a little tough love. No, sir. No, sir. You speak the love of Jesus to people that are looking. And you love them. You love them. You don't cast anybody. You don't write anybody off. I remember it was years that I would not even look at a Baptist church. And my parents didn't even know the extent of how hurt I was in that circumstance. But I went and I graduated and I knew I was saved, but I knew I didn't want anything to do with anybody that, you know, had anything to do with this and that. And so I remember going this way and that way and this way. And I'm glad I finally figured out that I can't be about the negative. I have to serve God. And you think you're doing your own thing. You're not doing your own thing. You're doing what the devil wants you to do. You do what God wants you to do. There's some Peter and Phillips. You see, Philip, was somebody that was also, Jesus had come to him. He went forth, he findeth Philip, and he said, follow me. It's a command. Follow me. You know, sometimes any bold declarations of truth. Come to Jesus. Follow Jesus. Well, I think of Peter. I think of Philip, who backslid on God. Have you ever been somebody that's gone away from God? Aren't you glad that God would take you back? He's the God of the second chance. He denied Jesus 3 times and God brought him back. I've shared also as well, I had an instructor in college who taught me the Greek language. In fact, I praise the Lord for him. He taught me Greek. He taught me several other classes, but he was always very practical. He said, I had some professors that were very highbrow, getting into the participles and the aorists and all this stuff. This one was just down home. You see, he was from Wilson, North Carolina. He talked about Easter-style barbecue. The first time I heard of Wilson, North Carolina was in a Greek class in Florida. And he said, you've got to come to Wilson. Wilson's awesome. Wilson's got barbecue. And, he was just down home country boy. Went to Fike High School, graduated, got saved late in life, went to Bible college, ended up teaching at that Bible college. Gung-ho, Peter, just like Peter, just full out, full steam ahead. I remember he looked at me, he looked at our class, and every day he would say this. He said, boys, you listen to me. Getting a little more Eastern North Carolina in the accent. But how far you go, no matter what you do, you can always come back to Jesus. Always come back to God. I want you, if you get so far out without God, I want you to hear this raspy voice. No matter how far you go, no matter what you do, you can always come back to Jesus. Every class. That he'd make us all stand up like the drill sergeant and recite the endings. Oh, it's the ominadosa. I mean, we had to do it hardcore, but I remember him making that statement. I'll never forget it. How far you go, no matter what you do, you can always come back to Jesus. I graduated from seminary. It was a couple years later. I traveled for the college, and I'd heard the news that my instructor had fallen into sin. The sin and the situation of his life was so severe, he was in the hospital here at WillMed. God in his sovereignty, at the same time he was in the hospital at WillMed recovering from self-inflicted harm, God had brought me to Wilson, North Carolina in 2011 to pastor this church. We'll take this off the radio because someone might know him, but I reached out online and I said, sir, I've been in every single class you've taught and you made this statement. It doesn't matter how far you go or what you do, you can always come back to Jesus. Amen. I praise God. He came back to Jesus. Amen. I bumped into him at Belk like a month and a half later, and he's looking at me like, ugh. I mean, when you preach to your student, now your student's telling you, I fully believe with all my heart, he's going to come here on a Sunday and share his testimony. Because the man that taught me Greek is back with the Lord Jesus Christ. Went to rehab, recovery, sober, he definitely turned to use. Cleaned up. God's using him in mighty ways. God's the God of the second. See, there's some that are strong willed. They may fall back. They may go astray. Peter fell astray. You know, here's Philip and these. They need, follow me. Come on back. You may be in that category today, and I've witnessed to those like that. I tell you, it's a lot harder and requires a lot more love. You have to lead them to Jesus. Speak the truth in love. And finally, maybe you find yourself in this category. Here's Nathaniel. Nathaniel is skeptical. What happens with Nathaniel? When Nathaniel is there and Philip finds Nathaniel, verse 45, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And that Nathaniel said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip took out his 22-pound King James Bible and beat him over the head. No. Philip saith unto him, come and see. Here's a sarcastic, critical man. Have you ever been to somebody and they think they're smarter? Or they may be smarter, but you try to teach them the truth and tell them about Jesus, and they take one little word and they twist it and turn it all sorts of ways. I've been on gospel tracks with folks, and you know, I'm talking about Jesus and this, that, and the other, and something out of the blue comes out of there. Okay, he's revealed in the law, prophesied in the prophets, proven to be Jesus, he's the Messiah, and all he got was Nazareth. Just looking for a way out. Skeptical. Can any good thing come into Nazareth? Here's how God reveals himself to those. Look at the text. He says, come and see. Oh, I love it. Don't argue with someone who is trying to intellectually destroy your position of faith. Don't argue. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Just invite them. Just invite them to the water because the Spirit doesn't draw. Listen, I'm telling you today, it has to be the Word of God that produces faith, not your logic. Have you ever been there? I'm telling you, friend, I used to get involved in online arguments. And listen, you'll fall flat. Everybody can copy and paste. There's arguments this way and that way. I mean, you can, if you want to argue, you're going to argue. Those convinced against their will are of the same opinion still. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's be true. Don't argue. Just direct them to Jesus. I had a friend of mine who also graduated seminary with me. And when he graduated, he said that he went through a period of time where no church opened up for him. So he got bitter against God. And so he turned back and he was actually involved in some online discussions on Facebook. And he questioned his faith and he turned from what he had been taught and what he said he believed and turned into full-blown atheism. In fact, his testimony as an atheist was that he was a seminary graduate. His testimony was that he was raised in a Baptist church. His testimony was that he knew better. In fact, the first time I tried to argue with or discuss with him or say, what's going on? I called him and he messaged back. And I remember him saying, Joe went through a whole list of things and the Holy Ghost just is saying, stop. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to get back, say, nope. This is my argument. No. And get mad and hang up. Have you been there before? Yeah. Holy Spirit said, stay silent. Pray for him. And direct them to Jesus. I don't know how many years, 5 years or so, just past Thanksgiving. I used to share his testimony as far as a prayer request. Remember that? Many times I've shared that and say, pray for him, my friend. He went away and it broke my heart. Thanksgiving, I was in the town where he lived up there and I called him up on his phone. He picked up and I said, how are you doing? And he said, I've never been better. He said, I thank you for praying. I know you prayed. You were the only one that didn't argue back with me. That's a miracle for a former pre-law student not to argue back with somebody. If you know me, you know I like to get in discussions. He said, you're the only one that didn't argue back with me. You love me, and I know you're praying for me, and you never left me. You never cut me off, even when I turned into atheism. You never cut me off. And he said, you know what? The Lord allowed that and allowed someone else in my life to come in, and I've come to Jesus Christ. I've come back to the Lord. I've made assurance of my salvation, and I'm serving Him. He said, I've just joined the church this past Sunday. Glory! He was actually online this past week telling me, where can I find your sermons? And I hope he doesn't hear this one, but he said, he was listening, and he said, I found the sermon revived. He said, that's a good word, brother. Don't ever give up on anybody. You just pray for them. Here's Nathaniel. Nathaniel comes to Christ. Christ looks at him and says, I know who you are. You're a man of no guile. You're a straight up kind of person. You're not a deceiver. I know you. But what he's referencing Jacob. You see, Jacob was a man of no guile. But you know this, all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. He says, I know that you were there under that fig tree. You see, there are many discussions about this. The fig tree is a place of rest and contemplation. But there are those that said that fig trees, because of how hidden they were and how large they were, there was a lot of secret sins that were going on in the fig tree. Here's somebody, I don't know if Nathaniel was, I don't know if he was involved in some secret sin, I don't know this, but I know this today. God knows your heart, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you may have your inner pride thinking that you're perfect, you may have your skepticism, but listen, at the end of the day, something has to be done about your sin. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. But I've got good news for you. Jesus Christ died on the cross for those sins. And has provided the free gift of eternal life. You receive it, but receive it by faith. Here's Nathaniel, and Nathaniel says, you saw me under the fig tree. I don't know what he saw, but Jesus says, I saw you. And you see, Jesus said, you think that's wonderful? Well, pretty soon you're going to see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And he's speaking about Jacob's ladder. And what he's doing is inviting Nathaniel. He says, listen, come to me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Take that step of faith. Listen, if you're Nathaniel today, just take one step of faith. My preacher would put it this way. Take one step, God will take you the rest of the way. You ask, I believe with all my heart, if you ask God to reveal Himself to you, He'll reveal Himself to you. You seek the Lord, He shall be found. You search the Scripture, He'll show you Himself. Search the Scriptures, ask the questions. God's big enough to answer. You seek God, He'll reveal Himself to you. And all three came to a saving knowledge of Christ. You see, one of the greatest testimonies in this past century that I've heard is of Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel had earned his bachelor's in journalism from the University of Missouri and from the master's of study in law at Yale Law School. He was a journalist for 14 years at the Chicago Tribune, winning Illinois' highest honor for public service journalism in the United Press International. He led a team of that won UPI's top awards for investigative reporting in Illinois. He was also an avowed atheist. Well, guess what? His wife, who was an agnostic, found Jesus Christ and was born again. He said he couldn't stand it. Here's his wife, and now she was in a relationship with another man. And not only that, but he believed that it was a fairy tale and fake, so he determined that he would study, just like an investigative journalist, he would study all the claims of Christianity and prove them false. So for a year and 9 months, he studied the claims of Christ and came to the conclusion that it was not just plausible, it was reality and truth. And Les Strobel said he bowed his head in his heart, trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. See, in his testimony, he said, I did that for this time. He said, in light of the torrent of evidence flowing in the direction of the truth of Christianity, it would require more faith for me to maintain my atheism than to become a Christian. Because to be an atheist, I would have to swim upstream against the torrent of evidence pointing to the truth of Jesus Christ. And I could not do that. I was trained in journalism and law to respond to truth. And so on that day, I trusted Jesus as my forgiver and my leader. Just like that, my life began to change. Over time, my values, my character, the purpose of my life began to be transformed over time in such a way that as I look back, I can't imagine staying on the path that I was compared to the adventure and the fulfillment and the joy of following Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm here to tell you today, come and see that the Lord is good. Hey, listen, I'm here to invite somebody today. Come and see that the Lord is good. You may be somebody about to give up on your marriage. Come and see a God that can fix your marriage. You may be somebody about to give up on your life. Come and see that the Lord is good. You may be a young person, a teenager, running with the wrong crowd at school, getting involved in sin. Come and see the Lord is good. You may be a former church member listening on the radio, and you've been out of church and backslidden against God for years. You've been hurt or forgotten or failed by men and pastors alike. Come and see the Lord is good. You may be a mother listening this morning at this rope's end, ready to give up on your life. Come and see the Lord is good. You may be a father who's lost control of his life and is going through some serious issues. Come and see the Lord is good. Come and see the one. I think of the Samaritan woman who met Jesus at the well. She was a woman that had been with five men, married five times. She was living in immorality. Jesus did not condemn her. He did not ridicule her. He invited her to drink of the living water. And when she got cleaned and drank of the living water, you know what she did? She went right back into that city. And she had one statement. Come see a man. I'm here to declare to you today, come see a man who can turn your life around. Come see a man who can take your situation and turn it good. Come see a man who can restore your life. Come see a man who can heal you, who can strengthen you, who can cause you to have life again. Come see a man who can save you from a devil's hell. Come and see. You're not coming to see a pastor. You're not coming to see a church. You're not coming to hear the music. You're not coming for the show. You are coming for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come and see. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed.